Lecture topic, Adornment of Akhlaq.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhin istafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Innahu man yattaqi wa yasbir fa inna Allaha la yudhi'u ajral muhsinin. Sadaqallahu al-azim. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اتق المحارم تكن أعبد الناس أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Most respected mothers and sisters, Allah Ta'ala has favored us with the greatest of bounties, the bounty of Iman. Allah Ta'ala keep us steadfast on Iman till our last breath. Take us on perfect Iman. Raise us on the day of Qiyamah with perfect Iman. This Iman is never at one level all the time, because it is always affected by something or the other, either in a positive manner or in a negative way. Every positive action, every good action, every righteous deed will increase the level of this Iman, the noor of the Iman, the strength of the Iman. And anything on the negative side, any wrong, any sin, anything that is displeasing to Allah Ta'ala, that will affect the Iman negatively. It will decrease the noor of that Iman, decrease the strength of that Iman. So this is an ongoing situation. Either what we are doing is going to improve and enhance the Iman, or is going to affect it negatively. So this is the tawfiq of Allah Ta'ala, that anything Allah Ta'ala blesses us, enables us to do, that will help us improve in our Iman, get closer to Allah Ta'ala. So this is a very great bounty of Allah Ta'ala. This little time that Allah Ta'ala has allowed us to be engaged in speaking about Deen, listening to Deen, something about Deen, Allah Ta'ala make it solely and only for His pleasure, for His gaining His closeness. And this too is a very great ni'mat and bounty of Allah Ta'ala. And this must be the niyat for which we are spending this time, that to say something, to listen to something, that will inshallah become a means of getting closer to Allah Ta'ala. And how we'll get closer? One is by listening with the right niyat, speaking with the right niyat. But then it doesn't stop there. The niyat must be amal. The niyat must be that whatever lessons of deen we learn, we discuss, this must become a part and parcel of our lives. And we must also pass it on to others. In the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, At-tuhuru shatrul iman. Tuhur, purity, is half of Iman. Now purity is a very, very fundamental part of deen, and therefore when even a child now, somebody who's just now coming in the early years of starting to learn, beginning to become conscious, the parents will start making the child very conscious of taharat, very conscious of what is clean, what is unclean, what is something to be far away from in terms of that you cannot allow yourself to be soiled in this manner. So this is a very fundamental part of our deen. Person becomes of age, the first and most important fard will be the salah. The salah will not be valid without taharat. And therefore, long before the person becomes of age, the masail of taharat are taught to the child. Child is made to understand it well. All the aspects of taharat are ingrained in the child, so that when the child becomes of age, he's automatically already aware of what is to be done, how things, because that fard mustn't get delayed, cannot get neglected for one moment. Then the person has to perform salah, the place must be pure, that's part of taharat, the clothing must be clean. So all this is part of deen. So the person is performing salah, but the body is not pure, not pak, that's a problem, that salah won't be valid. The body is pure, but the clothing is not pak, that salah will be null and void. The place on which the salah is performed, that is not pure. Now the body, and that's part of a person, the clothing is attached to a person, but is not part of him directly, it's attached to him, he's wearing it. The place that is not even attached to a person as such, but because he's standing on that spot, that too has to be clean and pure. Otherwise that salah is not valid. Person is making salah on a piece of ground or some mat or whatever that is not clean, it's napak, that salah is not valid. Whereas that is not part of this insan, he's not even wearing it, he's just standing on that place. Now these external aspects also have to be pure for that salah to be valid. So obviously, if these external things also are so important, for the purity of it is so important, for this ibadat of salah to be valid, so now that highlights to us how important purity is in deen. There's no ordinary thing, fundamental thing. Without this purity, that salah is not valid, nothing is acceptable. Person made tawaf in that condition, not acceptable. So this is external purity. Now what about the purity of what is the essence of everything? That is the purity of the heart. If the external things are not pure, this is the impact. Imagine if the heart is impure. The heart is impure, then though the fuqaha will give the fatwa that if the person performed the salah, fulfilling all the requirements, conditions, etc., the salah is fulfilled, but let's say with the impure heart, then this is a very, very, the very ibadat that a person, his whole life is ibadat. That ibadat with an impure heart is going to be very deficient, extremely deficient. But if he purifies that heart, or just as that clothing is pure and clean, that place where the person is performing salah is pure and clean, so now that salah became accepted, the salah was correct. So likewise, when that heart is also purified, so what does that pure heart, what it brings about? In the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, "At-tuhuru shatrul iman, walhamdulillahi tamla'ul mizan." That alhamdulillah, one alhamdulillah, will fill the scales of good deeds with a reward. So is this applicable to just anyone, anywhere, anyhow, saying alhamdulillah? No, the first part, at-tuhuru shatrul iman, the purity is half of iman, that this purity has been acquired externally, internally. The person with that very pure heart and with all the purity in every sense has been acquired, and he with that pure heart is also saying alhamdulillah, that alhamdulillah can reach this level. That alhamdulillah can fill the scales of good deeds for the reward that is acquired. And subhanallah walhamdulillah tamla'an aw qala tamla'u ma bayna as-samawati wal ard. And subhanallah walhamdulillah, there's not even the whole third kalima yet. Only the first portion of it, subhanallah walhamdulillah. This, but again starting off from where the Hadith Sharif started, at-tuhuru shatrul iman. That with that purity of the heart, with the purity of the heart, the subhanallah and alhamdulillah, the reward will be such that it will fill the space between the heavens and earth. Now, this is beyond our imagination. We can't even fathom this. We can't fathom maybe somebody telling us, I'll fill your whole house with gold. That is beyond our imagination. Where are we going to imagine the whole space between the heavens and earth filled with reward? The gold of this world is all perishable. This is all. But we can't imagine that filling our house. Where our minds can fathom this? But this is the power of that purity of the heart. That purity of the heart, this is the impact that it can bring. That purity of the heart now enhances this alhamdulillah to such an extent. Because everything has its level and category. In the Hadith Sharif it is mentioned that a person performs salah, some person from the salah, they get only half the reward. Another person performs the salah, that person gets maybe quarter the reward. Another person gets even one-tenth the reward. All performed the same salah, they made the same takbir at tahrima, they made the same qiyam, they recited the same surahs also, ruku, sajda, everything they did the same, they took the same amount of time. Their postures also were all done well, but yet the reward is going to vary so much. Somebody's reward is 100%, somebody 50%, somebody 25%, somebody 10%, somebody even less. So how that reward is varying in such an extent and so drastically, it is the kayfiyat, the inner kayfiyat, that inner condition of the heart. Somebody's heart was far away from the salah. They were following salah, but their heart was somewhere else, far, far away from the salah. And somebody's heart was also immersed in that salah. So the person whose heart was immersed in the salah, his reward is on a very different level. And the person whose reward, his heart was far away, just going through the external postures, that salah, the fuqaha will say fulfilled, the farz completed, but the reward is another matter. So likewise, this heart, when it's pure, it's clean, clean from what? So now obviously, there's no space, there's no salah also, if that heart is not clean from shirk, from kufr, then there's no iman itself, that's gone. But then, mashallah, the heart is clean of kufr and shirk, but then sometimes shirk of a lesser category, called riya, show, ostentation, doing things to impress others, to gain the recognition of people. So that nullifies the reward, shirkul asghar, it's a lesser form of shirk. So the heart now must be clean and pure from that shirk. The heart must be clean and pure from malice, from pride. Now these are things which sometimes a person is full of some of these base qualities, but because of many external a'mal, which with the tawfiq of Allah Ta'ala, the person has now become accustomed to it. So now we become very conscious of our salah, mashallah, alhamdulillah. Over and above that, nawafil also, mashallah, excellent. Then the person is also very conscious about daily tilawat, zikr, tasbihat, lot of wadaif, dua. Then together with that, Allah Ta'ala give tawfiq, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala's blessing, that together with that somebody is also making some effort, some khidmat of deen, whether in the line of ta'aleem, the line of da'wat, in some direction there's khidmat carrying on of deen also. So all these things are excellent, everything must continue. But sometimes that puts us in a kind of lull and some kind of self-deception that I'm accomplished. Why? Because I have all these things to my credit. So I'm done, I'm accomplished. But sometimes we forget in the middle of all that to check also what's the condition of my heart. And on the day of Qiyamah, that is the first thing that is going to count. What is the heart? Iman? Iman in the heart. So what is in the heart? Is there iman or no iman? If there's iman now, then the person is on his way to Jannah. Allah take us all directly to Jannah. And every mu'min will end up in Jannah. But Allah forbid some will end up going via Jahannam. Because the heart, there was iman, but there were other things lacking. So iman also in the heart. Then the heart, mashallah, there's iman, but the heart is also mixed up with some other issues. There's pride. And the Hadith Sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال حبة من خردل من كبر. Such a person cannot enter Jannah who has pride to the extent of a mustard seed. Pride to the extent of a mustard seed. It's hard to pick it up also. If one mustard seed, you won't be able to pick it up easily. It's so tiny. And if it is just one slight little, somebody just hardly blows at it, to it fly away. So minute it is, so light it is, but pride to that extent, that's meant to give us a message that a minute amount of pride, a minute amount of pride is so dangerous, so harmful, so destructive, that it will block a person's direct entry, the block a mu'min's direct entry into Jannah until this is cleaned out. Allah Ta'ala forgives somebody and cleans it out with his forgiveness and mashiyat, then that person is fortunate enough to then go directly to Jannah. Otherwise, the cleansing process of Jahannam. Now, the heart was soiled with pride. What is pride? Batarul haq wa ghamtun nas. Many a times, mashallah, a person is involved in a lot of a'mal of deen. But if we look within ourselves, we will detect sometimes that we are in a problem. Batarul haq, rejecting the truth. Somebody has told us something which is correct. The truth, something that's correct. Something that's valid, something that's correct. But now, many a times this is just offhand, just dismissed. Why? Who are you to tell me? I will do what I want to do. I know better. Who are you to tell me? That is pride. And pride, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sounding such a severe warning. Such a person cannot enter Jannah who has pride to the extent of a mustard seed. Batarul haq. And the other element of pride, ghamtun nas, looking down at people. Looking down, this person is like this person is like that. To despise the sin is farz. And to despise the sinner is haram. Because despising the sinner is to pass judgment on a person's end. This person is a goner now. We don't have any idea about our end, and we don't have any idea about anybody else's end. We have to be concerned about our own end and wish well for everybody else also. But looking down on people is pride. And looking down on people, which is pride, this is how dangerous it is. So now sometimes, because of the tawfiq Allah Ta'ala blessed us with, that we are managing to engage in some amal, that must continue, alhamdulillah. But then if that becomes a means of looking down at others, that is extremely severe. Shaykh Saadi rahmatullah alayhi, he says once, when I was still a very young boy, so I woke up and I made tahajjud with my father for a long part of the night. Then when we came out now, then probably he was in a masjid or something, he said a whole lot of people were still sleeping. So I said to my father, that look at these people. They didn't wake up, they're all still sleeping. So in other words, it was said in a way of sort of looking down at them. He said, my father said to me that it was better for you to also be sleeping, not have woken up, and not have made the statement than staying awake the whole night and now this statement you made. You washed away everything. You washed away everything and you brought a disaster on yourself. That now you look down upon others. That's wrong is far more serious than all missing all the nawafil. A person missed all the nawafil, he won't be taken to task for that on the day of Qiyamah. He lost out with a very great reward he lost out on, but he won't be taken to task for it. And a person and had pride in him, the heart was soiled with malice, with other evils. This is a major problem. This is something that becomes an obstacle in the entry to Jannah. So, the very crucial aspect is the cleansing of the heart. And this is what tazkiyah is all about. Tazkiyah is all about correcting, cleansing, and adorning the heart. Removing all the evil qualities from the heart, and adorning the heart with all the noble and beautiful qualities. Now this effort of cleansing the heart from all the base qualities and adorning the heart with all the noble and beautiful qualities, which is what is tazkiyah all about, which is the effort of tasawwuf, sometimes we don't give it the focus that is required. Even this branch of deen has to be learned. Person has to perform salah. So there's so much of effort made in learning how to perform that salah. That external taharat, no child grows up just suddenly just gets to know how to make wudu correctly, the child is taught, then the muallima will take that young girl out and make her make the wudu and practically go through the whole wudu with her, correct her mistakes and make it happen several times until she finally got it done right. All that training will happen. The mother will check on her daughter, father will check on his son, and repeatedly they'll correct the mistakes. After some time now, that came in order. So for the external taharat, there's so much of training done to learn that external taharat. Salah, the postures and all the things related to salah, so much of time and effort will be put into it and must be put into it, so that it's done right, it's corrected. Just as these external aspects of deen, there's a lot of time, effort required for it, and it's a necessity. And then the practical training is fundamentally important. Likewise, there's need for us to learn and to be constantly learning how to correct the inner self, the inner taharat, taharat of the heart. And just as the external salah, how to make the heart perform salah. That when the salah is being performed, the heart is also in the salah. That when the amal of fasting is taking place, then even the heart is fasting. The heart is also engaged in the ibadat of fasting. Though if the person stayed away from food, drink, etc., whatever is required during the fast is valid. But as mentioned in the Hadith Sharif, that sometimes a person is fasting, but they're making ghibat. So, the fast was valid, but no reward at all, because of the haram that they were involved in. They stayed away from halal food, but they were consuming haram in this manner. So now how to get the heart to fast as well? How to get the heart to make qurbani? MashaAllah, the qurbani, with zeal, with enthusiasm, Allah Ta'ala's tawfiq, we perform the qurbani. But Allah Ta'ala says, the qurbani of the heart, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. It is not the meat of the animal, not the blood of the animal that reaches Allah Ta'ala. It is the taqwa in the heart, that is the qurbani of the heart. The heart is slaughtering and sacrificing the haram desires all the time. And in the amal of qurbani, it's that ikhlas with which it was done, that kafiyat with which it was done, that is what reaches Allah Ta'ala. That is where the full reward comes from. So now this also is something learned, something that has to be acquired. It's acquired through the teachings of our akabir, our mashayikh, their writings, their discourses, and listening to the talks of deen on this subject, and then asking what we need to learn from those who could help us and guide us in this direction, and taking that advice and guidance so that we get things done the right way. Otherwise, Allah forbid, we'll be doing things. On the one side will be a lot of amal, mashallah, in terms of zahiri amal, external amal. But when the batin is corrupted or something is wrong in the batin, deficient in the batin, it can deprive us of all the rewards. And a person is not conscious of the batin, not conscious of the heart. So now the person is not conscious about, for example, I must not commit any zulm on anyone. So now that amal is carrying on, a lot of nawafil, etc. Like the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was told about one woman that she engages in a lot of amal, lot of nawafil, mashallah. And she excels in it. But she constantly troubles her neighbors. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that she's in the fire. Another woman says, well, she doesn't have too much amal to her credit. Meaning the farais, wajibat, there's no question about leaving that out. But too much nawafil. Basic amount is there, mashallah. But she doesn't trouble anybody. She doesn't give taklif to anyone. She's in Jannat. Now this is all about what the inside was. Because the inside was corrected, it manifested itself in the outside also in this way, that now there was no ghibat, there was no taunting somebody, there wasn't any aspect of looking down at anyone. There was the qualities of sabr, of shukr, which are treated as secondary things, whereas these are very essential aspects. Shukr is an essential amal in deen. But if a person is sitting and making deep-hearted shukr, that is not regarded as such an ibadat by us, where is such a great ibadat. And a person sitting quietly, making shukr deeply, so somebody might look at this person, is probably daydreaming. But in the depth of the heart, there's deep shukr taking place. Ya Allah, this is purely your grace, your mercy, your kindness, your bounty, your favor, that you bless me with iman. Alhamdulillahi ala ni'matil iman. Alhamdulillahi ala ni'matil islam. Deep down in the heart, this is carrying on. It's a ibadat in which now riya also won't come and get mixed up in it. Happening deep down in the heart. The person just felt, mashallah, a nice cool breeze for that moment, and deep down in the heart made shukr, or they said it verbally as well, alhamdulillah. Now nobody thought anything about it. This was shukr, this was ibadat. And this is a very great ibadat. Now, to sit down and meditate in this manner, the muraqabah of shukr, to inculcate the shukr deep down in the heart, shukr of all the ni'mats of deen, then the ni'mats Allah blessed us in our physical selves, all the bounties Allah blessed us, all the faculties Allah blessed us with, afi anfusikum afala tubsirun, don't you ponder over your own existence, what Allah has blessed us with. So now to make shukr, ya Allah, this is purely your grace, I can see, I can hear, I can speak, alhamdulillah on each thing, ya Allah, this is purely your ni'mat, I can see, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. When a person is deeply making shukr for the sight, and every day and repeatedly, now suddenly there's a temptation to look at haram, it will be very difficult to misuse that gaze, which a person now is so conscious, this is purely the ni'mat of my Rabb, Allah Ta'ala's bounty, Allah Ta'ala's grace. Now I'm going to soil it in sin, stung, subhanallah. Allah's great ni'mat, what a great ni'mat, priceless ni'mat. One person, something happened, some accident or whatever, just the tip of the tongue got cut off. He couldn't even speak properly, he couldn't swallow or chew food easily. There were so many problems, just the tip of the tongue got cut off. Allah blessed us with this now, to think about it deeply and make shukr, ya Allah, this is such a great bounty, such a great ni'mat, and free of charge Allah gave it to us. And there's no maintenance contract that came with it, that you're going to have to pay every month and then we'll maintain it for you. This is Allah Ta'ala's nizam is carrying on for free. It's moving non-stop. And some people it moves non-stop while they're awake. Then when they go on to sleep also, it's still moving. They sleep talking. Now if somebody has a bimari, something else, what this is just meant to say is sometimes we just engage it non-stop. Everything else stops, but the tongue doesn't stop. Everything else gets tired. Hands get tired. The legs get tired. The mind also gets tired. The person says, "Now I'm very tired now. My mind can't take anymore." But even when the person's mind is tired, his tongue is never tired. He'll carry on still. When his mind is tired, he talks more than sometimes. So, such a ni'mat. And this one ni'mat, so much could be earned with it also. That subhanallah, he'll recite with that tongue. That alhamdulillah, he'll recite with that tongue. That some good word he'll say to somebody will be with that tongue. And that one good word he will say, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, يَرْفَعُ اللَّهُ بِهَا دَرَجَاتِ. He will pay no attention to it. Will think nothing about it. He won't think anything great about it. Whereas it had such a wonderful impact by means of which his stages will get raised tremendously in akhirat. Such a great ni'mat. Now to make shukr for it deeply. Alhamdulillah. Summa alhamdulillah. Now when this shukr is happening regularly, deeply, now and suddenly the person is being now, the tongue is now moving towards some ghibat, he'll get stuck there. Now this tongue, Allah's ni'mat, and such a great ni'mat, and now I must start soiling it in ghibat. Allah forbid, if it got already caught up in some ghibat, that will become a very big remorse and regret. That will take a person to tawbah and make him make amends and make sure the next time around it doesn't happen. But when this will come when this deep shukr has come for this ni'mat of the tongue, the ni'mat of the ears, the ni'mat of the hand, this finger, Allah's ni'mat, all these joints, how they work and how the hand functions. We take it for granted because it's there. But now, one person in an accident, the hand, the palm, the foot, and the accident, something happened. Now they're trying very hard to save the foot because some tendons, etc., all got now damaged badly in that accident, now the blood flow has now been affected to the foot. As a result of which there's a fear that it mustn't get lost, they have to amputate it. Now suddenly the realization comes, subhanAllah, Allah's Nizam, and this is taken for granted now, that with that one limb missing, with this finger missing, now it becomes such an issue. So many functions are now all affected. And so many things that are done without a second thought, and just done just as sort of, this is part of life, it carries on, taken for granted. Suddenly now that person now can't hold that cup of tea now, because the thumb is missing. The thumb is missing, how is battling now, is trying to balance it some way or the other. Just one limb went, and now so many things are affected, he can't write now anymore. So many things are happening because that one limb is missing. Allah save us from all this. But now to make shukr for it, now the person is making deep shukr for it. Now suddenly there's a temptation to press some haram buttons on some social media, on some chat. That finger won't move, inshallah. With the barakat of deep shukr, this Allah's ni'mat. One is the very casual shukr that we make, just the word of shukr, khair, that too is not without benefit. But this deep-hearted shukr, deeply meditating upon this reality, it's Allah Ta'ala's ni'mat, Allah's bounty. Now when that shukr comes alive in reality, then that shukr will become a very big barrier between us and sin. Because that shukr, deep shukr, and that consciousness of that ni'mat that Allah has blessed us with, will create haya. It will create the shame in us. That these are all Allah's bounties and I'm going to misuse it like this. And I'm going to now abuse it. Allah's ni'mat. Parents gave us something. Somebody else gave us some item. And now we were abusing it. Doing something which shouldn't be done with it. And now suddenly we realize that person is watching. Now parents are watching. We feel very embarrassed. Very ashamed now. What they'll think of us. Now they gave us a gift with such muhabbat. And took so much of care to give us that gift. Now they saw us abusing it. We feel very embarrassed. If there's a little bit of shame in a person too, the person will be very embarrassed about it. So when we become conscious and are very conscious about all these being Allah's ni'mats, which we have been granted without any, we have not been worthy of it in any way. There wasn't any entitlement from our side. We weren't entitled to anything. It was purely Allah Ta'ala's grace. Now when we become conscious of that, that will create haya. That will create the shame in us. That how can I now misuse and abuse these ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala? So now this shukr is what? The shukr is primarily the amal of the heart. The tongue will express the shukr. But the real place of shukr is in the heart. Sabr, the real sabr is in the heart. So now that heart which is adorned with all this, that heart which is adorned with these qualities in the dua, one dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allahumma aghnini bil ilm, wa zayyinni bil hilm. Ya Allah, you enrich me with knowledge. And Ya Allah, you adorn me with hilm, with tolerance. Adorn me. Adornment, we've all heard the word adornment. All wanted to adorn ourselves many times. All spent hours sometimes maybe adorning ourselves. So there are certain limits of that and there are certain places for that. Even that is not just encouraged, is necessary in the right context where Shariat has commanded it, etc. But many people misuse that adornment. But everybody is nevertheless concerned about adornment. But adornment of what? By and large, the concern is of the adornment of the external self. And here in this dua, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us, wa zayyinni bil hilm. Zayyinni. Ya Allah, adorn me. Adorn me, where is this adornment? Adorn me with hilm, with tolerance. Tolerance is a part of good akhlaq, good character. And this good character is where? Is the tolerance in the eyes, in the hand, in the ears. Tolerance is in the heart. And the tolerance is in the heart, and it manifests itself everywhere, in everything a person does. So now this, we are being taught to make dua and ask for this adornment. وَزَيِّنِّي بِالْحِلْمِ. Meaning adorn me with all the akhlaq and this highlight of hilm, of tolerance. Now, when this heart is adorned with akhlaq, this is the true beauty. The true beauty is the inner beauty. The true beauty is what is inside. Externally, Allah has granted whatever He has granted to whoever He desired. It's all part of the taqseem of Allah Ta'ala. But the real beauty is inside. Sometimes it seems hard to understand how can the real beauty be inside. So generally, to make, for the sake of understanding, one example, supposing somebody got married, they got married to someone who, now they were really wishing that it will work out. Why? Because of the person's external beauty. So he was somebody very, very outstanding in his beauty. So in any case, it worked out. Allah Ta'ala willed it. So now that nikah took place. And now the first occasion of the meeting of the spouses now, this person came not only with that natural, physical beauty Allah blessed him with, but now he came adorned also in all the best clothing, came adorned with the best car also. But then he came and he started talking in a very rude and abrupt manner. Already there'll be a bit of a shock now, what's going on here? And then suddenly he even became a little bit more offensive, maybe Allah forbid vulgar. Now the ugliness of the inside is suddenly pouring out. And in the way he's conducting himself in such a terrible way, it won't be long, it might be even minutes, if not minutes, hours, and if not hours, 1-2 days time, say enough. It's like a burden to even look at the person. It's an azab to even look at him. Such an offensive person. Now what happened to all that beauty then? The ugliness of the inside, it overwhelmed the beauty of the outside that now got completely insignificant, waste of time now. No value whatsoever. Why? Because the inside had no beauty. The ugliness of the inside now, when that exposed itself, this external beauty all just fizzled out. But if somebody has the beauty of akhlaq within them, the beauty of the good qualities, then that will shine forth. When that shines forth, even if there's some deficiency externally, that will fade into insignificance. And this internal beauty will overcome all that. That is the real beauty. And that is obviously starts off with the beauty of Iman in the heart, and then the beauty of the sifat of Iman. And the sifat of Iman, the beauty of akhlaq, that is the highlight among the sifat of Iman. Now that is what we are being taught in this Hadith Sharif, this dua we should be making. Ya Allah, adorn me with this tolerance. A very tolerant person, person who has that beautiful, noble akhlaq. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's beloved messenger, the most beloved to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the greatest of Allah Ta'ala's creation, Allah Ta'ala addresses Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran Sharif, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْ فَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. That it is Allah's special rahmat and grace and favor, Allah's blessing and His mercy. That is Allah's mercy that you are very soft-natured with the Sahaba Ikram. Now when many things the Quran highlights, to show the very great importance of it, so the address is to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The lesson is for the ummah. Utlu ma uhiya ilayka min al-kitabi wa aqim as-salah. Nabi Islam is being commanded, utlu ma uhiya ilayka min al-kitab. You recite what has been revealed to you. Subhanallah, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who can even compare one iota to his tilawat? But Allah Ta'ala is addressing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to show us the importance that if I'm addressing my Nabi in this manner, what is the importance for you? Wa aqimis salah, an established salah. I'm addressing my Nabi with establishing salah. So how firmly you should hold on to this. So likewise here Allah is addressing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to show the ummah what is the importance of this. That if my Nabi is being told this, it's Allah's rahmat that you are soft-natured with the Sahaba. Had you been walau kunta faddan ghaliz al qalb, had you been harsh in your speech or foul in your speech, na'uzu billah, and ghaliz al qalb, had you been hard hearted, then all would have disappeared. Nobody would have remained. Now that's a lesson for the ummah, that what we have to be adopting That's of nature, obviously within the limits of Shariat. And to be far away from these kind of things, being harsh in our speech, talking harshly, and being hard-hearted, being mean, becoming petty over things, rather having a heart of compassion, of kindness, of forgiveness, of overlooking, and adorned with that beautiful akhlaq, adorned with those qualities which enhance the beauty of the heart. So now, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being told, if you had this, na'uzu billah, these second aspects, everyone disappeared from around you, meaning nobody will be comfortable. So now when we have unfortunately adopted those negative things, now we still want to know, but why there's always this tension around us? Why there's never this peace? But how can there ever be that peace? How can there ever be that happiness when that prescription which Allah Ta'ala has given, which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us, that prescription is missing? That prescription of that adornment of akhlaq, that soft-naturedness, that compassion, the kindness, that overlooking nature. This is what makes a home. This is what brings that happiness. This is that akhlaq. Akhlaq is about two things. One part of akhlaq is how we conduct ourselves, in what we do. What we do, to do it in the right manner, to do it with a correct akhlaq, in a noble way, in a soft-natured manner, in a way that's easygoing. And the other part of akhlaq is our reactions. So one is our actions, that too must be channeled through good akhlaq. And the other is our reactions. That when somebody else has adopted poor akhlaq, then we respond with good akhlaq. This was the manner of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what, in some poetic expressions, it is said that when people threw thorns at him, he responded by throwing flowers at them. Sirri Sakhti rahimahullah was a very great personality. He was one day traveling somewhere, so he went to take a rest under one tree. So now suddenly his eyes opened, and whether it was something that was in his mind or Allah Ta'ala made it happen that there was some this conversation taking place, whether the tree Allah made it speak, so the tree is saying to him, Ya Sirri, kun mithli. O Sirri, become like me. So he said, become like you, how? What's the manner of becoming like you? So then the tree responded and said, An-nasu yarmunani bil ahjar, wa ana armihim bil asmar. People throw stones at me. So now, might have seen it happening sometimes. Some children, others, now they want to drop that fruit from the tree. It's hanging quite high. They take a stone now and they're throwing the stone on the tree to try to get that fruit down. You see, now people throw stones at me, so I throw fruit at them. And the people are, so to say, now hurting me, so I respond by giving them fruit. Now that is the message, basically. This was the manner of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now if we adopt this good akhlaq, we adopt this manner, this soft nature, and we respond in this better way, then there'll be that happiness in akhlaq. They say is a two-way thing. See, you can't clap with one hand. But akhlaq is such a thing that one hand of, it'll clap with one hand, it will force the other hand eventually to clap. Because the good akhlaq will draw out the goodness out of the next person. So these are the things Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq as well. We started off discussing the Hadith Sharif, but the time has run out. This is nevertheless whatever Allah will. Allah Ta'ala make it a means of benefit for myself, for all of us. Give us the tawfiq of cleansing and purifying our hearts, adorning our hearts with all the beautiful and noble qualities, and become the true servants of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu wa laka ash-shukru kulluhu. Allahumma la nuhsi thana'an alayk. Anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. Jazallahu anna nabiyyana Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima huwa ahlu. Rabbana ghalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Allahumma aftah lana bil khayr wa akhtim lana bil khayr. واجعل عواقب أمورنا بالخير بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك
ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين. الحمد لله.